Good morning. Excuse me. Thank you, Andrew and band. Before we get started this morning, I just would personally like to thank our dads, our fathers in the house. Thank you so much for loving your wife and raising your children. And in this world that we live in, it's not easy, amen? And so continue, maybe for some of you it is. I know it's tough for me. But thank you so much for loving your spouse and raising your children in a way to follow after Christ. This morning we're going to look at the Word of God and the importance of it in Nehemiah 8. But before we do, allow me to pray. God, thank you. Thank you for this time. Thank you for this opportunity to be able to share your word with friends. And Father, I pray over our dads present today, God. Continue to give them a desire, Lord, to follow hard after you in their homes. God, to love their wives like you love the church. And God, to raise their children in a home where your word is poured into them daily, prayed over them nightly. And God, also give them a desire to be bold with the gospel in the workplace. Father, we lift your word up to you today. It is inerrant, it is holy, and it is our love letter from you. God, bless it today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Again, thank you for being here. I don't know about you, but I am old school. I am old school. If I could have a phone with a cord on it, I would have it. And so back in the day, do you remember roadmaps? Does everybody remember roadmaps? It was just this, I had this big, I condensed it as I got a little bit older and tried to be cool. So it was, you know, it was a book and it was about that wide, but it was about that thick and it took me forever but to get through it. But, you know, the big roadmaps that we used to have, you'd unfold this huge map and you'd pinpoint your destination on just this spaghetti mess of roads and turns until you got there. You remember that? Do you ever take a highlighter and map your way out to where you were going? No? Okay. This interaction, okay? Interaction. But then came the hard part, though. You had to fold it back. You know, I never could fold it. I ripped my maps. I probably had half a dozen maps as I was growing up. And now, listen, now most of us rely on GPS, though, don't we? We rely on Bob LeMay said, that's right. Attaboy. I need to learn something from Bob. And so, you know, we just type in the desired destination either in your GPS or some sort of a phone app, and it leads us right to where we want to go. Sometimes the app will even give you, like, verbally communicate with you with instructions and remind us what direction we're going or when, in my case, a lot of times, to make a U-turn to get back on track. So really, life is a lot easier now, isn't it? Or is it? You know, our phones can still go dead, right? Or we can drive into an area where there's bad cell service. Anybody ever go on 7 from like Holly Springs to Oxford? I never get service. Callie, you ever get service there? I'm just calling people out today. Who's next? But, you know, so you may have bad cell service. Even like the old school maps, though, GPS may not be updated with new and changing roads. So, listen, we can still get lost. But thankfully, it's leading into something. Thankfully, God has given us a different kind of roadmap for life. One, listen, church, that will never, ever fail. This map is the Word. The map is this book from Genesis to Revelation. I don't know about you, but this right here is the most important thing in my life. I fail it all the time. Sometimes I don't read it like I should. And sometimes I don't study it like I should. But I know no matter what I'm going through, I know that I can turn to this. And it's going to get me on the right path. How about you today? The Word gives us directions on how to live and is our fuel for spiritual renewal. The Israelites knew this in the days of Nehemiah, and it's a truth that all of us should hold on to today. So as you're turning to Nehemiah 8, I just kind of want to set this passage up a little bit. Nehemiah has come, the wall has been built, and the opposition has already been dealt with. It's time to build the people. And listen, God not only rebuilds walls, if you allow him, God will rebuild you. And he uses his word. Fixing the people, that was the real plan. God is less interested in walls, and he's more interested in me and you. He's more interested in people. So how do we go about being building the people of God? The word of God. The word of God builds us up if you allow it to. Nehemiah knew that when it came to fixing lives, he wasn't the man to do it, though. So in this passage, we're going to see, even though he was a leader, he had a sense of teamwork. So he called Ezra to bring the book, to open the book, and to preach the word. Okay? So listen closely today. This Old Testament passage of Scripture can be a huge encouragement to us. So listen closely today. Let's read in Nehemiah chapter 8. We're going to just take a few verses at a time. A lot of times I like to read the whole passage of Scripture and then go back and kind of pick a couple of verses apart. But if you haven't looked at this passage yet, there are some amazing biblical names in it. And honestly, I don't want to have to read them more than one time, okay? So listen to this. Nehemiah 8, beginning in verse 1. When the seventh month came and the Israelites had settled in their towns, all the people gathered together at the square in front of the water gate. They asked the scribe Ezra to bring the book of the law of Moses that the Lord had given Israel. On the first day of the seventh month, the priest Ezra brought the law before the assembly of men, women, and all who could listen with understanding. While he was facing the square in front of the water gate, he read out of it from daybreak until noon, before the men, the women, and those who could understand. All the people listened attentively to the book of the law. So the first point this morning is, listen, we have the book. We have God's word. We've got his love letter to us. First point this morning, I believe that we see in this passage right here is that we need to read it. Read it. God sent Nehemiah to Jerusalem to help his people restore their city from the outside in. Through the work and ministry of both Nehemiah and Ezra, the priest, the Israelites not only rebuilt the walls of the city, but they also rebuilt their lives. Here in Nehemiah chapter 8, the Jewish people gathered to celebrate all that had happened. And actually, this was really more than a celebration that was going on in this passage of Scripture. It was really a rededication as well. The gathering, the Scriptures tell us, happened in the seventh month of the year, which is significant because the Jews celebrated three events during the month. It was the Feast of Tabernacles, the Day of Atonement, and the Feast of Booths, okay? And every 7 years during the Feast of Booths, God's word was read before his people. So listen, the Jews of Nehemiah's time had recaptured the significance of their festivals and realized the importance of, like we see in verse 1, the book of the law of Moses. So these people were hungry. They were hungry for God's word. I like using this illustration when I share the gospel. I'm not the best at that either, you guys, okay? It's challenging, isn't it? But if we get to know this, it will help us some. But I love, like, there's been times where God has just given me somebody that it was like fruit ready to fall from a tree. You ever share the gospel with people like that? That they have been witnessed to, and God is working in their heart. And all you have to do pretty much is say, I love you, or God loves you. And they just cave, and they come into a relationship with Christ. But that's kind of how these people were. Okay? These people were hungry to hear what God had to say, which meant two things. First was this, that they were dedicated to listening to the word of God. Verse 3 tells us that people listened to Ezra and others read and explain the word of God. How long? From early in the morning until midday. So in other words, listen, they listened to the word of God for approximately 6 hours. I don't know about you, but I wonder how my life would be if I did that. I wonder what my life would be like if I was digging into the word for 6 hours a day. Now, look, this is something to raise your hand for, and I love when I have the opportunity to do this for it to be interactive. Does anybody in here spend 6 hours in the Word a day? So not only did I have to reevaluate myself this week, but I want you to think about that. What would your life look like if you spent that much time in the Word? 6 hours. Can you imagine that? How would Dr. Kerr feel if you guys even listened for 30 minutes up here, right? I know better than to tell jokes when I get up here. So they were dedicated. Not only were they dedicated to listening to the Word of God, they were attentive to the Word of God. To be attentive means to concentrate, to be observant, to be focused. So these people's hearts and minds were not fixed on simply listening to the words that were read, but retaining the truth from the law being read and explained to them. So being attentive. So I want to challenge you with a couple of things. Are you dedicated to listening to the Word of God, reading the Word of God on a steady basis? And also, are you attentive to the Word? What do you get out of it? When you come on Sunday mornings or when you come on Wednesday night for discipleship, are you just checking off the box? Or do we take in the things that God's trying to speak to us about the Word, about His Word, about His love letter to us? Look, this was convicting to me because there's been many a times in my quiet time, man, I've got an appointment, I've got a staff meeting, I've got staff lunch, I've got other things I've got to do during the week, and sometimes I just dig in and I just read and I don't even take it with me. How many times do our busy schedules stop us from reading the Word, being attentive to it? Thank you. It's interaction time. That's fine. We can get up and dance. Well, maybe not really. Be dedicated to listening to the Word and be attentive to the Word of God. Since God's Word really is the fuel for sustained restoration in our lives, we've got to give God's Word the priority in our life so that it deserves. Let's be people. Let's be a church of such a hunger for God that our lives overflow with the dedication and attention to His Word. Second point. Let's read verses 4 through 6. Hang on now, okay? The scribe Ezra stood on a wooden platform made for this purpose. Mattathiah, Shema, Ananiah, Uriah, Hilkiah, and Maaseiah stood beside him on his right. To his left were Padaiah, Mishael, Melchiah, Hashem, Hashbadanah. Is that a cool biblical name? Hashbadanah? Zechariah, and Meshulam. Ezra opened the book in full view of all the people, since he was elevated above everyone. As he opened it, all the people stood up. Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and with their hands uplifted, all the people said, "Amen, amen." Then they knelt low and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. So not only should we read God's Word, I believe we see in this passage how God's Word is revered. So revere God's Word, respect God's Word. As the Jews gathered to hear Ezra read, they showed great honor and respect for the Scriptures. In verse 5, we see it says, as he opened it, all the people stood up. Ezra didn't even have to ask the people to stand. It was like a customary act of honor, even maybe submission. You know, we see the same thing today when a bride walks down the aisle at her wedding. What happens? Congregation stands, don't they? They stand in honor of the bride. When a president of the United States is in a room, what happens? People stand in honor. When we sing the national anthem, we stand in honor of our country. We stand as a way of expressing the worth of a person or an event. So listen, when the people of God stood to receive the Word of God, they were publicly displaying their belief that what was happening, hearing the Word of God, was important. I wonder today, how important is God's Word to you? I had to ask myself the same questions. Because listen, sometimes things don't match up. If we're not really reading God's Word and we're spending time in it, we're digging into it, and we're trying to understand it, do we really have respect and reverence for it? Can't answer that question for you. I can answer that question for myself, and I've had to plenty times this week because I believe in practicing what I preach. I hope you do too as a Christian. Listen, this was a declaration of worship and submission to the authority of Scripture that we see. And what a wonderful picture of God's people responding to God's word. The Israelites were deeply moved as they heard and understood the words of the law. And listen, responding to God's word, we need to keep this in mind, is one of the greatest pathways to spiritual renewal. Because if you're just studying, or you're taking in a sermon, you're digging into discipleship, if you're not getting anything out of it, you need to check your heart. Maybe there needs to be a spiritual renewal within. Okay? As we renew our walk with God and experience personal revival, God's word is the fuel that sustains us. It is the fuel that sustains us. And it keeps us spiritually moving forward when we're digging into God's word. You know, I'm not talking about some quick, momentary response to God's word that fades away in a while. We all have those. We all have those, but they need to become less and less and less and less and less. Until every single time that you're digging into God's word, you're meeting with him face to face. There is conviction that falls on your heart. There is repentance that falls on your heart. And there's walking away from sin that falls on your heart. His word holds us accountable. And I wonder in society, I wonder in the world, I wonder in society, I wonder if in our church, if we've lost that respect and that reverence for the holy word of God. Our churches are dying. Christians aren't stepping up to the plate. Their yes is not yes and their no is not no. That goes back to the time that we spend in the word of God and how important the word of God is to us. Because look, when you stand on the truth, sometimes you're going to be a little uncomfortable. If you stand on the truth, sometimes you're going to be stretched. You are called to be a witness for Jesus Christ, and it begins right here. Me too. I've said it many times. I wish I had a mirror up here because I don't want you to think I'm Mr. Perfect. I struggle just like you do, but guys, listen, we have got to get back to the Word of God being the most important things in our lives. And you know what? It's one thing in here to get it and take it in, but you know what? We've got to take it out there. The world needs it. I'm leaving for a vacation after this sermon, so I'm just letting it all hang out. To return to our previous metaphor, this illustration I used about the map, the Bible is the map that keeps us on the path, again, of renewal and revival. And we stray, that God's word holds us accountable. It does. And it shows us the way back. So listen, read the word. Revere the word. Respect the word. And lastly, look at verses 7 and 8. I do have, you know, I'll be honest with you. I'm candid. I've got a cheat sheet for all those names. Again, I don't know why I try to be funny. Verses 7 and 8. Jeshua, Bani, Sherebiah, Jamin, Achab, Shabbathai. That's a cool name too. Hodiah, Maaseiah, Kelita, Azariah, Jozabad, Hanan, and Pileah, who were Levites, explained the law to the people as they stood in their places. They read out of the book of the law of God, translating and giving the meaning so that the people could understand what was read. So the last point, not only read it, not only respect it, revere it, but reflect it. Reflect it. The men mentioned in verse 7 were Levites, and their task that day was to help the people understand the law. Therefore, look, in verse 8, the Levites did two things to carry out that task that we see in the scripture. They read and they translated it. The people had, think about this, the people had been in captivity in a foreign land and culture for decades. Okay, so there was a culture gap, and many of the people may have lost their ability to lead and to speak and to understand Hebrew. And it's quite possible that the Levites in this passage were translating scriptures into the language of the people. So not only did they, to carry out the task of making sure that these people understood, not only did they read and translate, they gave the meaning. The Levites were actively pursuing clarity and understanding. Clarity is important in all communication, but doubly so when you're reading and studying the Word of God. and bringing God's word to the people, the Levites surely offered practical application as well. So they're basically saying, here's what God's word means. Now, here's what you do with this truth. And so I want to camp out just for 1 minute here. Again, go back to what I said a little bit ago. We take in and 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 we take in a little more and we take in a little bit more. But where is that going? Where is that going? The biblical knowledge that you have, where is it? Where does it go? So our responsibility is to be able to take it in, understand it, comprehend it the best that we can. Look, I know there are some scripture that I don't have a clue. Even when I dig in, I still don't understand it. But you know what? God will help you understand the scripture in due time. When he wants you to understand something, he's going to help you understand something. But listen, then we have the responsibility and the pouring, not just a little trickle out of our cup, pouring it into other people's lives. And that's what they did. So listen, they helped them understand it, okay? And then they helped them practically apply it. So the same is true with you guys. Every week when you come, think about that. Man, think about what's being preached, what's being taught in Sunday school or Wednesday night discipleship. And don't just let it sit there in your heart or wherever it may go in your body and in your mind. But apply it and pour it out, okay? When we read the Bible for our own personal growth, we need to continually ask ourselves what we must do as a result of that. We must learn to apply the word, dig into it, strive to understand it, and apply it. In addition, as you apply specific passages of God's word to your own life, again, we have a responsibility to tell others about it. Give it away. Give it away. The Bible is meant to be shared. Share it. You can only teach what you know, so focus on your own study and application of God's word, okay, as you help others follow him. I'm convinced that's one of the biggest reasons why we don't share the gospel as Christians. We don't witness to others about the life-saving gospel of Jesus Christ because we don't have biblical knowledge enough, or at least we don't think we have biblical knowledge enough. Listen, I want to tell you a little story, and I bet you the same applies for almost everyone in here. A few weeks ago in the youth, I asked those guys to raise their hands because we talked about that same thing about why we don't share. And that's one of the main reasons, lack of biblical knowledge, or we think we don't understand the gospel, or we think we don't get the gospel. So I asked them a question. How many of you have been here a year or less? Been in church a year or less, nobody raised their hand. Now I'm thinking, 2 years, nobody raised their hand. 3 years, nobody raised their hand. 4 years, nobody raised their hand. 5 years, nobody raised their hand. And I think I got up to, what, 8 or 9, you guys, something like that? How many of you have been coming to church 8 or 9 years or more, and every single person raised their hand? You know what that told me? You know what it should tell you? If you've been coming to church since you were way little, if you've been coming to church that long, I hope you're in a relationship with Christ first and foremost. But you have the tools, church. You have the tools. If you've been coming to church that long and you don't understand the gospel of Jesus Christ, you need to come see me. We need to get you discipled. But most of you do have that gospel knowledge. Share it. The Bible is not for us to keep for ourselves. We are to share it. We are to give it away. You have that knowledge. Pray for boldness. We're all busy in life, so I'm going to close with just a couple of ways that you can make the scriptures have their rightful place in your life. Here's the first one. Read up. Make a habit of reading the Bible every day. A devotional book or some sort of a Devo magazine can help get you started. We have those out in the foyer. If you need some, let me know. I'll hook you up with some devotional materials. Maybe some sort of a Bible reading plan. Or if you're not a big reader, listen, have someone read it to you. There's CDs out there, Bible on CD. You can plug them in your car as you're going to work. You can play them at home. Your iPod. Is it an iPod? Your iPod. I told you I'm not techie. Or because I have it written down, a podcast. Maybe you can listen to the Bible through a podcast, okay? But more importantly, listen, read it. Give God uninterrupted time to speak through his word. That's one way that the scriptures can have their rightful place in your life. The next one is this: listen up. As you're studying God's word, make yourself more attentive to God's word by taking notes. Write down what you hear God speaking to you about through the scripture in your readings. You can use a journal, a notebook. I had a friend that had margins in his Bible, and I have one of those too. But you can write little notes in your margins. He seemed to be pretty solid. I mean, I didn't know him really well, but he had his whole book was just full of notes and stuff. So you can write what God's saying to you through the scripture. Next to that scripture, you have wide margins. You can buy one of those Bibles at Lifeway. I know I don't work for them, but you can get a Bible that has margins where you can write in, okay? But listen, pray and meditate on God's word. Take a phrase and chew on it and pray it back to God. I love praying scripture to the Lord. Let his word emotionally impact you. Believe it and ask God for the promises and believe the truths as you read and study. Hebrews 4:12 says that the word of God is living and active. You've got to allow the Holy Spirit to guide your path while reading and learning the word of God. We have plenty of tools to give us direction on a physical level, don't we? But God's word is the only thing that can give us proper spiritual direction that we need in life. Read it. Revere it. Hold it in reverence. Reverence. Respect it. And then reflect it, okay? We need to study this book. We need to understand it and meditate on it so we will not fall into the traps of the world. It truly is our foundation and fuel to sustain a renewed walk in Jesus Christ. Read it, respect it, reflect it. And then you know what? Give it away. Ultimately, that's what it's for. It's for us to give away. Let's pray. You know, I've wrestled over the invitation today. Invitation's always up to you all. But, you know, maybe you've been visiting us and today's the day that you want to possibly join our congregation, join our church family. If that's so, I'll be down front. If there's something that you just need to come clean about, the altar's open. We love you guys. And dig into God's word. When I say amen, we're going to play a song and the invitation will be open. Father, we love you. Thank you for this time. Thank you for your amazing grace. God, I thank you for your word. God, I thank you for the life change that you've taken me through by reading it, by studying it, by living it out. God, we're not perfect people, but we have a perfect God. And we have material that is inerrant and it has things in it to help us with our marriage, raising our children, sharing the gospel. God, give us a desire to dig into it. Let us be a people that holds it in front of the world, not to bash them over the head with it, but to love them and encourage them with it. God, let your word speak to us. We love you, Father. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Stand as we sing together and respond to the Lord.
Control. everlasting. Your light will shine when all else fades, never ending. Your glory goes beyond all faith. My heart and my soul, when I give you control,
to a time of offering. If our deacons would come forward, Mark Montgomery is going to pray for us. Mark.
Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for this day to come to your house to worship you. Father, we just praise you for this Father's Day that we can celebrate just the men in our lives, the fathers, the grandfathers, what they mean to us. Father, that father figure you've placed in our life, just help us to just thank them today. Father, thank you for their love. Father, we thank you that you are our Heavenly Father, that you sent your Son to pay a price, that your word teaches us from Genesis to Revelation, that you had that plan in place. Father, we thank you for the access we have to your word. Help us to be dedicated to opening it on a daily basis, to reading through it, Father, to applying it to our lives, using it in a way that glorifies you. We lift up our Honduras team as they head out this week to do exactly that, to take your word into a foreign land. Father, pray that you'd work through them in a mighty way. Pray that you'd use this offering. Help us serve you. We love you. Christ's name we pray. Amen.